outsmart you. Because when we follow the ways of the enemy, it's because he's outsmarting us. I want everyone to pay attention. Don't allow any distraction right now. Because that's one of the ways the enemy outsmarts you. So I don't need any discussion outside. Don't give room to the enemy to outsmart you. How does he outsmart? By creating distractions. By filling your plate with so much that you are overwhelmed, focus on one thing, and he does that. I was watching a guy who had some free cops or something like that. And in those cops, there was nothing. But somehow, he moved each of those containers, and he had a shaker in one of his hands, hidden from view. And when he moves a particular cup, he will do the shake with his hand over here, and there'll be a noise. And he was moving these cups, and his friend is trying to figure out where the shaker is, but didn't figure it out. Couldn't figure it out. He said, okay, let me move the cup slowly, and moves it slowly. And you know that cup is right there, the one that has the shaker is right there. But then when it gets there, nothing. When he puts this one over here, he shakes the shaker over here, and he goes, man, what is it? How are you doing that? Distraction. The friend didn't know the shaker was on this arm. And that's what the enemy does. He distracts you. Sleight of hand. The magician is doing his thing. That's how the devil works. So we've got to have the ability to be very aware of our environment. To be discerning by the Spirit of the living God. To recognize that while the enemy is moving in this direction or trying to do something over here, really what he's trying to accomplish is over here. And so if you're not fully dressed with the mind of God, you will not be able to capture the method that the enemy is operating, and you keep on falling through the lies and the deceptions of the enemy again and again and again until you are in that state of mind where you just give up. I can't do this. How many people have given up on their marriages? Given up on their children? Giving up on life because they did not understand what the enemy was trying to do. A man of God told me once something I knew but had not experienced it as of that time. He said, I'm a blessed man. He said, well, there was a time when I could have lost everything. I was listening. I was in a group of, I think we were about four or five of us seated together, talking about different things. He said, I had gone and I'd done ministry somewhere, and this guy brought me a real big pack of money, lots of money, and was presenting it to me. He said, and the Lord said, don't touch that money, don't take it. He said, so he refused it. And He asked the Lord, why? Why are you asking me not to take that money? And the Lord said, that was bad money. He said, what do you mean bad money? We got it from prostitution, drug money, what? He said, no. That money that guy was bringing you was money that was going to cause all of your money to fly away. Demonic activity. So that man would have been doing everything, and nothing would have been staying, because demonic activity would have been there, removing from the back door. Money would come to him the front door, and the back door, it's gone. He learned. It's not everything that you receive. I remember, it's got to be about 15 plus years back now, a little bit back. I had received that kind of money too. Somebody brought money, and but not in the same kind of a way. A huge amount. I'm not talking about a few thousand. Great amount of money. At that time, I had not received money like that. And the person says, this money is for you. I said, really? I said, yes. The Lord said to me, don't take that money. I said, I need the money. He said, don't take it. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? He said, put the money in the church and give this person a receipt. I don't want a receipt. The Lord says, give them a receipt. Put it in the offering. Give them a receipt. So I said, I can't take your money. I really appreciate it, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to put it in the church, and you're going to be directly receipted for this money. A good thing, because I escaped a trap. Whether they were intentional in it or not didn't matter, but I escaped something that particular day. Well, this was happening here, but the enemy had another intent over here. And so when I shut him down here, I was able to move freely. And every day we need to be discerning. It's not some of the time, all of the time. Not only about good things or bad things, but about good things too. Because the devil is full of tricks. And the Word of God says, I want you to be careful about the wiles of the devil. Because you're not dealing with man. You're not dealing with man. You're not wrestling against flesh and against blood. The problem is we think that we're dealing with people many times, but that's not the case. You're dealing with demonic forces. And I'm just going to list what the Word of God says to us here in just a moment. But remember what we've been addressing. Put on the whole armor of God. Put the whole armor of God on. Now, if we skip that particular verse 12, the Word of God will tell us what this armor looks like. Right? And let's look at what the armor looks like first before we start dealing with what this armor is supposed to address. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Remember, it's God's armor. It's the armor of God. David was asked to put on the armor of Saul, and it did not fit. Yeah? But God is saying to us, put on my armor. God is bigger than Saul. But the armor of God fits you. It came from God. It is what God puts on. Huh. You mean God puts the armor of God has an armor? Yeah. Is the devil sometimes trying to, you know, play tricks on God? Yeah. Does God overcome him all the time? Yeah. But he has his armor. And it says, put this armor on so that you are able to withstand the enemy. It says, repeating verse 11 again. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. When? In the evil day. In the evil day. There is a poneros, that's the word for evil here. A poneros day, a very strategic day. The enemy is busy plotting, and he is doing everything for an evil day. For example, and may God help the people in the Ukraine. For months, there was an understanding that Russia was going to attack the Ukraine. How did we know? He was busy piling up his armory, his tanks, moving soldiers, doing all kinds of things, you know, and bringing them to the border of the Ukraine. Well, at that point, we should all know this guy is going to attack. Was Ukraine fortified right away? No, he might not attack. Why would he attack? We didn't do nothing. Until an evil day. And when the evil day came, the fight started. True? That's something that we're experiencing right now. Well, that's the exact same thing the enemy does. If you find different things happening in your life, but nothing is really affecting you yet, but you can see something's changing here and something is changing there. So that does not belong there. This does not belong there. Why is this happening? And blah, blah, blah. And you can see all of that and you've not wised up to understand that the enemy is busy piling up stuff for an attack. You've got an issue. No, what you need to do is, you know, let me put it this way. While they are busy piling up, Russia is busy piling up this stuff, you look at Russia is so big, I'm Ukraine. If I attack them, I might be the one starting the fight. So let me just assume that they are not going to attack me. It is a false hope. If you know that this man has done this kind of a thing before, and done that before, and done that before, this leopard is not about to change its spot. That's when you start getting yourself really fortified. That's when you get everything in there. And the world today is crying, this. No, why didn't you bring all the resources that the guys need? Now everybody's saying, oh, you're doing very well. You're fighting back very well. but they don't have the armor to do it. Now things are complicated. And that's what we do many times. We allow the enemy to penetrate, and now we think we're going to be able to fight. Yes, you may be able to fight. Yes, you may be able to push that enemy back, but to what loss? You don't allow the fight to come into your mind. And then you want to start fighting now. No, you give no room to the devil. How do you stop the enemy? You start out, first of all, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You start celebrating the goodness of the Lord. Rather than when something happens, you start getting depressed about it, start praising God. You start with worship and adoration. The enemy is trying to tighten up your finances. You seed more. You give more. Because you are not going to be that one that's going to have lack. Amen? Whatever the enemy is trying to do, do the opposite. This is how you resist the devil. And he begins to flee from you. If Russia knew the Ukrainians are, they have all these stingers, they have all these javelins, they have all this aircraft that can fight, they have batteries that will pull down their planes, even though they're guarded, he'll say, we're just doing some practice, we weren't trying to fight, and he'll move all himself away. Because he knows these guys are serious. But when he sees weakness, even though there's strength there, he's going to attack. And you and I need to have that kind of a mindset that we don't give room to the devil to think that he is going to be able to fight us. How do we do that? We put on the whole armor of God. Because there's an evil day that comes. And having done all to stand, if the enemy still comes to fight you, when you are fully fortified, you will still be able to stand. Not only withstand, but stand. What is the difference, having done all to stand? It means that withstanding means that you are able to resist the enemy. And after resisting him, you're able to pursue him out of town and stand while he's running. You stand your ground. You possess your possession. You overcome the lies of the enemy by the truth of God that's flowing in you and through you. That you don't allow whatever the enemy is doing to become a distraction. So that you start saying, in agreement what the devil is trying to do. Let me say that again. So that you don't start saying out of your mouth in agreement with what the devil is trying to do. Let me say it a third time. You don't say in agreement with the devil on what he's trying to do. Because until you come into agreement, the devil really doesn't have access. I was ministering to a particular community this morning that we've been ministering to for well over a year, different parts of this particular country. My message to them today said that God, the three-in-one God, sent one of himself, a part of himself to the world, and the part he sent was the Word, Jesus. And for us to be saved, the word that he breathed into us, we have to send that word in agreement to lock in with the word that came. And when word meets word, because with our mouths we have to confess, when word meets word, we get saved. In the same way, when the devil sends his word, when you come into agreement with that word, you get the death that comes from him. So we never agree with the circumstance, because the circumstance is how the enemy is speaking to you. Saying, this is what's going to happen. And you say, absolutely not. That's not what's going to happen. This is what is happening. God, this is what God said. This is what God means. And what God said and what God means is what's going to happen. And whatever it is that you're saying, or whatever it is that you think you're showing to me right now, that's not the picture that I'm seeing. I don't live my life based on sight, but by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? So we have particular weapons and or armory that is supposed to help us. Let's go a little bit further. And it says, stand therefore, having your loins, girth with truth. If your waist is dislocated, you're not going anywhere, man. You're not going anywhere. So God says, have the belt of truth. Tighten that on very well. And attached to that belt of truth is what the Bible calls the breastplate of righteousness. So first of all, don't allow a lie. Have truth. It's truth that makes you free. Have the breastplate of righteousness. This is the breastplate that covers all of your main vitals. It covers your heart, it covers your lungs, it covers your stomach area, it covers most of your organs. The breastplate of righteousness. That is the right to be able to stand before God. God has given me the right to stand before him. I am not a castaway. I have access. He says, have that. Know that you have access. Why do you know that you have access? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin and from all unrighteousness. What is this all about? The accusation of the enemy. You don't have the right. You're not good. You did this and that was bad and blah, blah, and so on and so forth. So thank you so very much for reminding me about how bad I was and what things I did wrong. I thank you for reminding me about that. But I come before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you saw my past, my present, and my future, and you paid the price to make it possible for me to stand before you in righteousness. Your precious blood has cleansed me from all sin. I am righteous. I have access to you. You have not put me aside. I am in the family. Oh. What is he going to accuse you of now? He doesn't have anything to accuse you of. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the helmet of salvation. Because he wants to tell you about you're not saved and on so and so forth. Those lies you must not embrace. Now, how does the enemy realistically accomplish what he wants to accomplish? We know that the devil, Satan, is not omnipresent. Now we're going to be going through verse 10 right through for the next little while, because there's so much information here. How does he do it? Well, he does it because he's not everywhere present. He does it through his angelic forces that operate primarily through the spiritual wickedness. And These are disembodied spirits that are always, now I'm going quite a bit ahead of myself here, but I've already started, so let me just complete this thought. These are disembodied spirits whose agenda is to make certain that the glory of God is not manifested amongst men. That's the assignment. We don't want God to be glorified. That's it. So anything that's not going to glorify God, these spirits are the foot soldiers that want to bring that about. Remember, the first lie of the enemy was not a total lie. Because the enemy never, you know, if somebody tells you a total lie, obvious, there's no way you cannot know that that's a lie. Well, you'll be able to identify it right away and say, wow, that's a big fat lie. Come on, that is not true. Get out of here. No, but the enemy comes with a lie, and his lie is effective because there's an element of truth to what is being said, but there is a poison of the lie within it. And that's what demonic spirits do. They come with a lie that has an element of truth in it. And the most dangerous lie is the lie that is 90% true and 10% or less is a poison. So let me put it this way. You have a big jug of nice fruit punch, but there is a pinch of fentanyl in it. That's the devil. The fentanyl mixes very well with a punch that you can't tell that there's anything in there. You just think it's same old punch. It tastes just like the same old punch, but there is a punch inside the punch that's going to punch your lights out. And that's what you've got to watch out for. The Bible says, watch and what? Pray, lest you fall into temptation. Watch, pray. Watch, pray. Demonic factors are always moving around. They're seeking somebody who is not watching, somebody who's not praying, somebody who's not seeking the heart of God, somebody who's not pursuing the things of God, but they are pursuing the things of themselves. When God says, put on the armor of God, you are putting on your own armor. I'm going to take care of myself. Nobody's going to push me around. Well, that's good. Nobody's going to push you around, but now you're hardened in your heart. Now you're bitter. Now you're filled with so much rage and strife because you didn't know how to give God thanks in all things. You didn't learn, you didn't do the sacrificial aspect of being, well, I'm here to serve. My service is as unto the Lord. Everything I do is as unto the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. So you try to cheat me, but the one who is going to reward me is the one that I'm serving. You try to cheat me, you try to steal my money, but Lord, I come to you. And I thank you, Lord, O God, that you're the God who multiplies my seed sown. I've given you my life, and you are increasing me. I thank you, Lord, O God, that you're dealing with this situation over here where this person is trying to rob me of my resources. But God, you are Lord over all. You reign over all. So I'm trusting you to grant to me what I need to live life to the full. I am not going to be subject to the diabolical devices of the enemy. I surrender myself to you, God. By making that shift, you are letting God fight your battle. I remember, looks like many times I come here and I start confessing all kinds of crazy stuff. Many years ago, we're just down the street over here at a building called Holy Ghost Fraternal Aid Building, just before Mountain. So it's just, you know, less than a block away. We're using their basement, the banquet hall. It was a beautiful place, very nice lighting and stuff. And we're having good rapport with the board of the aid company society. Come the end of the year, 1 year, they changed the board, and the new board said, we don't want a church in our banquet hall. We only use it once, Sunday mornings. They don't use it at that time. But these guys came and said, we don't want a church in there. And you won't believe it, I flipped. I was very upset about that. How dare they, you know, kick us out of this place? We've had good rapport, we've paid our rent and blah, 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 blah. And I decided, you know, I got some daughters that are lawyers, you know, and so I'm going to call them, get some counsel from them, but I'm going to sue these people. I'm going to threaten them for their own building. I'm going to threaten them, you see. I'm going to tell them, you don't have a right to be bossing me around. Who do you think you are? This is the devil setting up. And I was walking right into it. I was walking right into it because I had not taken hold of my emotions, taken hold of my mind. And so I was walking right into this trap. The Lord let me, you know, go through all my... So finally he asked me a question. He said, do you want to fight this battle, or do you want me to fight it? I started, I want you to fight it. Okay, good. Now, go down Henderson. I was driving right here. God had this place for us. And I'm busy trying to fight somebody with their building basement. But God had this address for us. He said, go to John Black United Church. Now, I've been in this city for years. I've not noticed that John Black Memorial Church, United Church, for years. But just the week before, I got this notification that, you know, we were to leave, move out of the facility. I'm driving down Henderson Highway, and I see this building. I said, oh, interesting. How come I've not seen this building all these years? God says, go to that building. So I went to that building. I talked to the pastor there. The pastor says, when do you need to do your service? I said, this when I normally do it. He said, but that's the time we use for our church services. I said, can we do a service after yours? He said, sure, you can. So we moved and we started using that. You know what? We're there for a month or two. And during those 2 months, even though I had all of our members that attended where we were, attending there, I didn't have enough money to pay the bills if we had stayed where we were. Huh. And when it was time to pay the United Church for the use of their building. Pastor says, oh, forget about that. It's the Lord's job. Don't pay. We don't want you to pay anything. Just use it. Wow. God was fighting the battle. And a few years later, he brought us here. I don't want to go to the how we finally got here, but this is how the enemy works. He tries to trap you, get you into a vicious circle of defeat. But thank God, we are victorious. Amen? Hallelujah. And as we wrap up this month, we are saying, not only for March, but for every single day henceforth, until our Lord Jesus Christ comes, this is my month of victory. Amen? We are made more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And we will have the spiritual sense, the spiritual discernment, to defeat every demonic activity that the enemy wants to bring our way. We'll be able to see the installations of the enemy. And not just see that, but recognize that greater is he that is in us and with us than he that's in the world, and therefore not live in fear. Because ultimately, the strategy of the enemy is fear. Yeah? And back to Russia and Ukraine. Ukraine cannot attack Russia because of fear. They're a bigger army. But the fact is, since they are right there, and they start moving, and I'm ready, and I start blowing up all of their stuff before they even step in and cross over, they will think again, hey, wait a minute, the hammer is coming down so hard. Where did these guys, what is going to happen? Can you imagine those guys had a 14 or 40 mile, whatever, I'm losing the word that I want here. You know, just 40 miles, 75 kilometers of their tanks lining up on this highway, sitting ducks for 2-3 weeks. And everything was not blown up. Well, they didn't have all the equipment, that's why. But if they had it, they'll blow everything up. Gee, these guys have just set this up for us. Blow everything up. Russia will not step into that country. He'll go back the way he came. And so it is in the spirit realm. When you see the enemy, blow everything he's got up. Send the word of God as an evil-seeking missile to begin to blow all of it up. Hallelujah. The one thing, and I thank God for grace, that God has helped me as a pastor to do, is exactly that. I blow all of it up. Boom, 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 boom. And when you think you're going to start your engine and you're going to come, you find out there's no power, nothing, it's not working. No, you don't wait for the enemy to come inside your house and start messing things up. No. Get rid of it before it even starts. That's what you do. That's exactly what you do. Because if you don't do that, you get damaged. Well, we're going to revisit this passage through April until I have a sense that we've done some justice to it, and even then, it will not be enough. I will see when we'll actually just do a series on spiritual warfare and just do it like we did the marriage thing with Mama and I talking. And, you know, just break it down, break it down, break it down. If the Lord lets me do that, that's what I would like to do. Because this is our daily experience. We need to know how to fight effectively and come home whole, not dismembered, not crippled, not emotional, mentally, and so on and so forth, challenged in any way. But let us pray. Let's trust God to help us. Heavenly Father, we bless your holy name. We glorify you. We ask, O God, that you will reveal yourself in magnificent ways to us. You've brought us, O God, to the sixth chapter, and that for a reason. Because we're living in a time, O God, that battles are being put in array. And Lord, O God, we want to see the forces of darkness humiliated, destroyed, their weaponry destroyed, even before they come to the battlefront. Father, we want to see your magnificence displayed as you strangle the powers of darkness, choke the life off of their strategies, embarrass the forces of darkness because their methods are exposed and their agenda brought to naught. We trust you, God, for a magnificent move of your spirit. We ask, O God, that you help us, O God, to be properly dressed. Dressed, O God, not only just to battle, but dressed, O God, to celebrate daily the victory that we have in seeing the enemy of our souls defeated. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of our fellow saints, brothers and sisters in the kingdom. For Lord, O God, this day we want to fly high the flag of the kingdom, the flag of your love flown high from the very castle of our hearts, declaring, O God, that your kingdom has come and your will is being manifested, made known in the earth as it is in heaven. We ask, O God, that you, our God, will cause us, O God, to worship you in spirit and in truth as we declare that your mercies, your goodness, your mercies, they endure forever. And how, Lord, O God, that you are ambushing the enemy and causing the enemy to fight against themselves and to cancel themselves out. Lord, manifest your glory. Help us, O God, to take a hold of our emotions, our attitudes, our will, our intellect, our minds, and bring them subject to your glory, subject to your word, and being empowered, being energized. Lord, O God, that we have dominion over all dominions of the enemy. The dominion of your kingdom shattering the dominions of darkness. Father, we receive grace to live life to the full and to testify of your goodness. Blessed be your holy name. We magnify you, Lord, that our bodies are being healed, our finances established in righteousness and in truth, that all darkness, O God, be wiped away, that those things that will try to pollute that which you have for us, to corrupt that which you have for us, Lord, O God, that those things be eradicated. For Lord, O God, you've birthed us out of a seed that is incorruptible. So Lord, this day we declare in Jesus' name that we are incorruptible people. We are a people, O God, that are energized by the very presence of your authority, your exousia, your authority, O God, trumps over every authority of the enemy and subjects all things to the glory of your glorious name. Father, you are God who sees in all directions. Not only do you see in all directions, you see, O God, through time, past, present, future. And we're asking, Father, you, the God who sees all things, knows all things, even now as we acknowledge you, that you're the God who will give us direction and see us through life with a testimony in our mouths of the victory that we have received because you have fought a good fight on our behalf. Thank you, Lord, that those that have sicknesses or diseases of any sort, that they are receiving their healing right now. That those, oh God, that have been challenged mentally and emotionally, that they receive their victory right now. That marriages that are going through the threatenings and the trickery, the methodological systems of the evil one, that they will receive your victory right now. That those, oh God, that have law court cases, Lord, oh God, injunctions against them, and Lord, oh God, that you'll fight for them. That those that have been accused of the enemy, Father, oh God, will receive the reprieve, oh God, that comes from you because you give them clearance and you declare them blameless and you declare them wrinkle-free, you declare them righteous, and Lord, oh God, you cause the enemy to fail in his attempts. Shut the door on the enemy of our souls. We thank you, Lord, O God, that this is done. For we have the victory. We have the victory. We have the victory. And we march victoriously with a flag of your glory flying high. So that, Lord, O God, all may know that there is a name that is above every other name. That name, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. We give you praise, Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's a joy to have spent this time with you tonight. But before we step out, and this next Friday is going to be our leadership prayer meeting. So just for leaders, those that are serving and have had the invitation to come participate, we look forward to seeing you here on Friday for a very special time of prayer. Those that are online, you will also join us online in prayer, but your programming is going to be different from what we will be doing here that particular evening. That's Friday night. But before we leave, let us honor God with our giving. If you've not released your seed of faith as of yet, please do so right now. The information is available to you. Those of you in Toronto, you know how to give yours. And those here, you have donation at Glory and Peace. They have the website. You can use a website. You can use a physical address, 1296 Main Street, and send it if that's your best way of sending your offering. And there are those that do so. We'll encourage you to do as you elect to do. And may God bless you as you release your offering unto the Lord. Praise God. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And we'll see you on Friday in person or else on Sunday morning in person. God bless you. Good night. Hello. will